Welcome to CICK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CICK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CICK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CICK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CICK News, we are just 4 days away from voters heading to the ballot boxes for the 2022 BC municipal elections. In the last few days of the campaign, we'll speak to candidates from across the region about their efforts to be our elected representatives in local houses of governance and why this fall of 2022 is a crucial time to get engaged in municipal politics. But first, we'll hear from mayoral candidates for Smithers incumbent Gladys Attrill and challenger Murray Hawes. Stay with us.
This is Gladys Attrill, and I am running for the position as mayor for re-election in the beautiful town of Smithers. Happy to talk to you, Dan, and the folks at CICK.
Great, Gladys. Thanks so much for being with us. Obviously, you've been on the campaign trail for a couple of few weeks now. Maybe firstly, though, after a number of years as mayor of Smithers, maybe you can tell us why you decided to continue to run for the mayor of Smithers.
Thanks, Sam. Well, first of all, thank you very much for the opportunity. It's nice to be able to chat with you and perhaps speak to the folks who are listening to CICK. I think the main reason is that I still feel a commitment to the community, to the organization of the town of Smithers. You know, it's no surprise to anyone that it's been a time of disruption over the last term. And so while I think despite that disruption, we were able to get through some really big things, this is a community that I love and that I'm deeply committed to. And it just feels like the right thing to do to keep working on things and to try to bring, you know, the stability that hopefully I can bring to the organization. So I'm just committed and excited to keep doing the work.
Of course. Gladys, you know, you've been the mayor for a number of years. What are some of the things that you guys were able to accomplish, especially over the last couple of years where we did see, as you mentioned, the disruption, the COVID pandemic, a very difficult time for, you know, especially businesses in the community. But maybe you can tell us a little bit about some of the things that you and council were able to achieve. What is the priority going forward? If you are successful on October 15th, you know, what is there still to do?
Okay, thanks for that, Dan. I think, you know, one of the big things, and it may not be readily visible to the residents of Smithers, but one of the things we did was actually a core review. You know, there was disruption not only in the community, but within the organization as well. So we undertook a core review last year in 2021, and council committed to the process of that review. So we looked at the areas that were identified as needing improvement, where we need to make some adjustments in terms of staffing, and we've been working on that. And I think, you know, any business knows right now how precious your staff are and the labor situation that we all find. So we've been very committed to ensuring that this organization is properly staffed so that we have people in the management positions and in staff positions in order to do the work. So, you know, sometimes people get frustrated that things might take a long time. But if you don't have people working for you, as anyone knows, things go slower. So one of the things that I am actually really proud of is that we have a strong leader in our organization and the staff team. We have a good CIO in Diana Plouffe, and she's put together a great organization that is able to do the work. So that may not be readily available sometimes to citizens, but it's critical. And we did that, and I think it's super important. Another big piece of work was the official community plan and the zoning bylaw. So that was over a year of community consultation, of working with people, getting drafts of the OCP and the zoning bylaw. And that just needs the final dot now, and it will be done. And that's the guiding documents for the community. How are we going to do things into the future? What might development look like? what sorts of opportunities are there for people to develop business, to develop their property, to develop housing. Those guiding documents are just so important, and they're done. So that was a big piece of work. Additionally, I think, you know, we spent some time trying to be involved and engaged with the community during the pandemic. There was a lot of uncertainty, not just for Smithers, but for the whole world. And council and I spent quite a bit of time reaching out to various groups, sectors within the community, trying to remain informed on our part and trying to let people know that we were interested in trying to provide the support that they needed. So whether that was, you know, people in the school system, whether it was businesses or individuals, we tried to stay very connected to people during that time. And I think we did.
I know, Gladys, that, you know, there were some people that I spoke with, quite a few people that were a little bit kind of taken aback when the work on Main Street started with the renewal of the landscaping. And it was mostly around not the issue of, you know, the landscaping per se, but the issue of consultation, community consultation. And you mentioned it there, so I thought I'd bring it up. There were some people wondering, you know, how the town communicates with the community to consult about, you know, big ticket things like that. So maybe you could let us into, you know, what are some of the things that the town and that you actually do to consult with community? And then how going forward is more of that going to happen? How can people take part in making sure that their voice is heard in the community?
Thanks, Dan. I guess to Main Street, you know, that is a really interesting one because all of the community engagement actually happened before the pandemic. There was quite a lengthy process where people were invited into the building, into council, you know, into the public part of the town hall where the plans were there, the landscape architects were there, and there were community workshops that resulted in the design that was constructed this year. And then we did have the pandemic, and we also had challenges in terms of getting a contractor to take on the work. So it actually took 3 years to get the work done. So we were in the unusual position of having the plans, of having the money, and then not being able to get someone to actually do the work. So that all came together this year. So it actually is an interesting example of a fairly extensive community engagement, but it happened quite a while ago. And of course, you know, perhaps we here didn't realize how much time had passed, and combined with the disruption that so many people had forgotten about it. There was a pretty extensive engagement with the folks downtown, with the people on Main Street, the businesses, so that they were completely aware of what was coming. But yeah, you know, I'm fully aware how people reacted when the trees started coming down. However, I've been getting lots of positive feedback now that it's done. But you raise a good point. When there's that time delay, you know, now I'm looking at that with hindsight. And, you know, also with the disruption that we also felt internally with the pandemic and the challenges with getting contractors. In terms of going forward, I think there's a few ways that people can be involved with council, you know, with what goes on here. You know, some of it does require a little activity on the part of citizens as well. So we do have everything about what we do is on our website, so people can figure that out. It's just smithers.ca. We live stream all of our meetings on Facebook at the Town of Smithers page. Most councillors, at least, you know, looking back, have their email addresses and how to contact them on the town website. I share my phone number with people. I'm happy to take calls. You know, I meet people wherever they are. But, I mean, communication these days can be a challenge because there are so many ways for people to get information that sometimes a particular channel is missed, you know, by us. So we do, the Town of Smithers provides information via Facebook, via our website, and sometimes with additional advertising in local media. And then I think we're open to ideas, what will work with people. Many counselors are attached to different committees downtown. We report back to each other. I don't know of anyone who turns down a meeting when an opportunity comes. And as we go forward where there's more and more in person, hopefully we're able to close that gap a little bit. Nobody misses the fact that we do this job on behalf of the people who live here, and the input of the people who live here is critical to that decision making. You know, personally, I'm not interested in upsetting the apple cart. I'm interested in what do we do together to make this amazing town more amazing going forward. So, you know, if there is things that people want in terms of communication, we're wide open, and I'm certainly super interested in hearing it.
You know, another one, Gladys, you mentioned that there obviously, you know, there's always going to be concerns within, especially a small community. Many of these issues are compounded. But maybe this time around, once you've been on the campaign trail a little bit here, what are you hearing from, you know, concerned citizens? What are some of the issues that are priorities or top of the list to them? Maybe you could talk a little bit about what you've been hearing from folks on the doorstep.
Sure. You know, in many ways, there are things that I am not surprised to hear. People are concerned with housing, you know, with the cost of housing, the availability of housing, and the spillout from there that, you know, for folks that are trying to bring in employees, sometimes that's a challenge for folks to live. We have, you know, a more visible homeless situation downtown that's exacerbated by the housing crunch. I hear from people about labor shortages. I'm hearing about childcare shortages that impede people from being able to get to work when they have jobs available to them. You can't leave your kids alone at home. People are concerned about access in and out of the Smithers Regional Airport. People are concerned about the conditions of roads and sidewalks. People are concerned about finances. How are we going to do things going forward in an affordable way? So I think those are the things that I'm hearing. Essentially, I think, yeah, those are the primary issues that I'm hearing.
Well, maybe, I guess maybe a couple of the main ones and also that I've heard about as well, housing being, you know, a huge priority, just affordable housing. You know, we see that, you know, houses are being built in the new subdivision behind Canadian Tire there, but they're definitely not affordable. And there's a couple other projects going on that would seem, you know, like they should be affordable, kind of townhousey, you know, developments, but, you know, they're still topping up, you know, $400,000, $500,000 at least on the lower end. So, you know, what is the town going to do? Is there anything that they can do on that file? And then, of course, also the issue you mentioned with childcare. Clearly, there are some things that the town can do to help it along, but in the grand scheme of things, there's a childcare crisis right now, and a lot of people, as you mentioned, having to remove themselves out of the workforce to take care of their kids.
Right. Okay. So first, maybe on housing. So I do think we have to recognize the steps that the town has taken thus far. So in terms of approving regulation change, trying to use the tools that we have to make it easier for people to build homes, whether they're multifamily, whether they're single family, really at this point, any house in Smithers, any additional house is a good house. It enables someone to move into a new house and it frees up an old house. So I really hold that. We have rezoned sections of town to make multifamily easy or easier, that you don't have to request a rezoning. We approve carriage houses, laneway houses, secondary suites. The province has actually just changed or is in the process of changing regulation to make that even easier. When people come in with creative ideas, we look at them really closely. I don't think we've said no really to interesting housing opportunities. So we can see that there is some new multifamily. You talked about it in Ambleside. There is an additional project going up on Queen Street. There's supportive housing going up near the hospital that Northern Society for Domestic Peace is working on. There's another project on Third Avenue. So there's a few things going up. So as a town, we've not moved into the role of building housing. Some communities do. We've not gone there. But we're trying to hear every opportunity and make it as easy as possible for people to build housing across, you know, all designs, sizes, multifamily. We use permissive tax exemptions downtown to encourage people to build apartments attached to retail. So I think we're doing everything we can, and we're lobbying to the appropriate provincial ministries to help us. There's a proposal to build a road down Alfred Avenue, which will allow the property owners on one side of the street who don't have road access to be able to develop their properties. This is an expensive proposition for the town, so we're looking for support from the province to help us with that. But we're aware, keenly aware, the struggles with housing. We're also trying to work with local agencies and BC Housing to deal with the lower end of the spectrum, the people who need either supported housing or way more affordable housing. So, you know, this is one area as well where I think we're open to any idea. We recognize how desperate it is for people, and we want people to be able to live here well, whether they're folks on income assistance or people with, you know, good paying jobs who just really need to find a home. Childcare is another difficult one for the town to do alone. So we've done the childcare needs assessment. We have lobbied with, you know, Northern Health, and have, you know, we're part of communication with the University of Northern British Columbia. Is there something that can be done to increase the training opportunity for people? You know, this isn't just with childcare, but this works across the medical spectrum as well, that the more training seats that are available focused on northern and remote practitioners, the better off we are. It's difficult to attract childcare providers from other parts of British Columbia to here. We really need folks trained here, you know, folks that already want to be here, that have their investment in living in Smithers or the Bulkley Valley to be able to make a decent living providing childcare. So we're not deaf to that. And the tools that we have, we're using. We're trying really hard to be engaged wherever we can, so that there are more childcare opportunities. I mean, I've been in businesses where people say they don't have, you know, someone to answer the phones today because people are at home, they can't leave their kids. It does affect the economy of the community. This is a really important issue, but it's not something the town can do alone.
Yeah. You know, one of the concerns was just around the issue of, you know, spacing for, you know, childcare access, businesses especially. We just don't have the space. You know, is there anything on that file that the town is willing to do? I know you worked with BC Housing to provide, you know, land to see Goodacre Place, you know, put up. But is there something along those lines that the town is considering?
I don't know that we've had a specific request. If you're saying by space, if you mean land. The town doesn't have a ton of land. We do have some smaller pockets of land that might be appropriate for something like childcare, you know, a childcare facility. We have provided land for housing developments, for not-for-profit housing, but there hasn't been, that I'm aware of, a particular proposal that would facilitate childcare. You know, we are considering it, or this council has been considering it as a go-forward. Are there different ways that we could achieve the needs and desires of the community? So I think things like, you know, library, housing, childcare, as we look forward and we look for different models and ways to pay for things, perhaps there is something new. But, you know, kind of like housing, I think council has been very open. If someone has an idea that maybe is stretching the boundaries a little bit, we're interested, because this is the time where we really need to be creative. We need to work with people in the community to figure out how are we going to achieve what we all need with all the resources we have. This isn't something, you know, I don't think the town is considering, or not to date. We haven't been considering, should we be in the childcare business? Should we be building childcare and trying to run it ourselves? That's not been discussed. But we are interested in trying to make things simpler for people who are trying to build the services that the community needs. We can't do everything, but we're very open-minded to what ideas come to us.
Gladys, just the last couple of things for you before I let you go. You know, obviously the town has done a lot in the last number of years, especially over the last decades that I've seen. The vibrancy of the main street of downtown is much different than it was 10 years ago. Obviously, I just got a little bit of a facelift with the landscaping. We see new businesses have moved into town. Some have left, of course, but others have moved in. And as you mentioned, with the housing situation, we do see a lot of building going on. Still some challenges there with the affordability of those buildings. But, you know, clearly there is a lot of activity, economic activity happening around the community. However, I'm still, and it seems to be the perennial issue every time there's an election, that there's this idea that the town of Smithers is not business friendly. And I would pitch that question to you, is what would your response be to those folks that may be looking at council as not being open for business?
Well, I think the first thing is I'd really like to talk with folks who have that sense. It has been a sentiment that's been there for a long time, and I'm not sure what that means. So, I mean, the best way to tussle out ideas is to actually speak together. So I invite anyone who has that sense to give me a call and let's talk about it. Let's talk about what that means to them and what it means to me, because I don't have that sense at all of how this council has operated or the previous council that I was a part of. We're very interested in the success of this community. I mean, I am so committed to this community. It's been my home. It's given me such benefit over my lifetime. And that's why I'm running, because I love this place and I want it to be successful. And that requires so many, you know, slices of the pie, if you will. We need to have people who love to live here. They need to have places to work. They need to have adequate income to support them in what they do. And that requires a business sector. It also requires being, sensitive to the needs of the industrial sectors that work around us, whether that's forestry or mining or energy. I am not deaf to the fact that we need to work together. And I have made effort and have met with people in different industrial sectors to hear their stories and to figure out what can we do here to support them. So I am definitely not anti-business. I don't even know what that means. How can one be anti-business? We all rely on it. So I think communication is the first step. Let's talk about what that means to folks. An individual with a proposal may not win everything they want. Not everything is going to pass through council. That's just as it should be. We're going to review each thing on its merit. And if it makes sense, it gets approved. If it needs rejigging, sometimes it's sent back. But, you know, there's not many things here since I've been on council, proposals that have come forward that have heard a no. There are some, but not many. So I don't really think that that's warranted, although I concur, I've heard it as well. Just a couple of other things that I think, you know, affect business that a lot of energy have been poured into, and I continue to do that. That's working on the success of the Smithers Regional Airport. We've put, money into the runway, I think $7 million in the last couple of years on the airside improvements, more improvements coming next year in terms of runway lights, and been working and chatting with airlines about how can we have better service. It's a challenge, especially as airlines are in recovery mode going forward, but we do need improved access at the airport, which means increased frequency of flights. And the other piece is community safety, and that's a concern I've heard from businesses as well. So we have increased the number of members in the municipal police force at the RCMP detachment. We're doing what we can to put the resources in to making this community safe and accessible and to keep going with the vibrancy that you talked about, Dan. This is an amazing community, but it's going to take all of us. And so I think when there's a concern, the first step is, you know, if I'm the mayor, phone me. Let's talk about it. Let's make sure that all information when it's being shared is true and that we're all aware of the same things and working together. I think that's really our key. This is an amazing community. We need to work together to keep it as good as it is and to make it better going forward.
All right, Gladys, we'll leave it there for now. We're out of time, but we thank you so much for giving us your insights and your time today, and good luck on the campaign trail.
Thanks very much, Dan. I appreciate the opportunity.
Coming up next, my interview with mayoral candidate Murray Hawes. He says the town needs to incentivize and attract new business to the community to see it grow. But will that be enough for voters to elect him mayor of Smithers on October 15th? Our conversation right now.
Hello, my name is Murray Hawes, and I'm in Smithers, and I'm running for the mayor of Smithers.
Great. Thanks so much for being with us, Murray, and giving us the time. Obviously, you've been on the campaign trail for a couple of weeks now. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about what you've been hearing and speaking to constituents about, and what is the platform that you're running on?
Well, the platform is mostly running on fiscal responsibility and open and transparency and accountability, you know, to the taxpayers from the people that they put in power. So obviously the council members and the mayor. That's one thing I think has been lacking in many levels of government, and that's one thing I would like to see brought forward.
I know that was a bit of a theme that came up a few times at the debate. You know, maybe tell me a little bit about maybe some of your experience, but what exactly do you see as the issue in the last little while, this last council over the last 4 years? You mentioned the transparency and being kind of more open and being accessible. Maybe tell me a little bit more about that. How do you feel that they haven't been accessible, and what would you do differently if you're elected on October 15th?
Well, first I want to say the council and the mayor have done a good job for the town in a lot of ways. So I just want to get that right out there now. Maybe I didn't bring that across last night, but, you know, they have. I think what I would do differently, and this is coming from the public, I spent many days and visited many people, from business owners to regular people, door knocking on people and talking about it. And a lot of people felt that the, you know, the transparency and the accountability to them, they just weren't explaining enough when we had these big tax increases. And part of the process, I believe, is they just weren't getting out there walking the streets enough. And that came up in the when they're doing the going through the finance debates and that they were having. And it was live, and it was it's all public note. They can go back, people can look at the messages. And this one, the CFO, and one of the other reports, both of them said the report cards from their only client, which is you, the taxpayer, states that they were unhappy with, you know, the communication between, which is again transparency between, you know, the council and the taxpayers, whether they're residents or whether they're, you know, business owners. And I just think that could be improved a lot, whether I get in or not. I'm really hoping that they will all see that and we'll take them up on that and do that, because it was suggested that by the CFO and that that him and the CEO, they should walk down, you know, start talking maybe more to some of the business owners, some of the people on the street. And then when some of the council said, yeah, we should probably do that together. So I think they recognize that, which is a great thing. And that's all you can ask.
You know, there was a few other themes that came through at the debate, but also in speaking with the other candidates and voters just on the street. You know, they bring up this issue of affordability. And, you know, we've been seeing this for many, 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 many years, not just, you know, in the last few years, but it's been a perennial issue for a long time. I guess, what is going to be your approach aside from, you know, obviously needing to attract, you know, some more business, but in ensuring that the community is an affordable place to live for most people? We see, you know, some houses going up, but they're also, you know, topping over that $500,000, you know, even approaching $700,000 for a single family home. So what is the approach to make sure that we have a diverse housing stock and so it's affordable for, you know, many people on the financial spectrum?
You know, that's a great question. And it is a concern, not only here, but they've talked about it nationally and provincially in that, and it's been a concern for a long time. Part of it is we just haven't been keeping ahead of the curve when it comes to building houses, whether it's affordable, low income in that area, whatever the case may be. I mean, I had an ultrasound on Monday and I'm talking to the lady up there, and she's a fine case. I mean, she's been here a year and a half. She has two kids, 8 and 10, and, you know, she'd like to buy a home. She says, but just there's nothing affordable, and she's got a good paying job, but it's difficult for a single parent. So we do need to address that issue, and we do need to cut down, I believe, on the, you know, and I'm not sure how to get into the nuts and bolts and that of some of the bylaws we have, but we need to cut that process down where it's quicker and easier for contractors and developers, or even the other person wants to build a home, and they need to do that, or they want to build multi-type developments. We need to have that. We need to make sure the process is shorter so that the projects can get done, because of how long it takes now. And an example is I talked to a contractor who built a place, was going to build a place here, and said he was put into the process, and that by the time you go through the planning to the development to the approval and all that stuff, it was like a year and a half. He went to Terrace and he got it done in 6 weeks and built a project there. He said he'd love to come here. He said, but the bureaucracy and the red tape just delays everything. He said, you just can't do that when you already have problems with weather, you know, a short building period, really, in that, in the thing. It's important that we can get that process streamlined. And then I think we will start to catch up with some of that housing, and that'll help on some of the affordability. One of the other things that's happened, Dan, is, and I talked to a few people on this, is that, you know, over the last 5 or 6 years, you know, a lot of people have invested in rental homes. And then through the 2.5 years of COVID, Nettie, and the freeze on them to be able to increase their rents, they started getting behind the eight ball. Now they're staying up with what the market rates were. So then it was costing them more to keep those homes. So rather than keeping them rentals, they actually turned them over, and they've gotten into now the selling market. So they sold those places. So again, that takes people out of probably maybe a more affordable rental place. And now what's happened now is gone into the retail side, and that's increased the price of houses. So it's a multifaceted problem we need to deal with. And I was so excited last night to hear everyone. It is important on everyone's platform, and it needs to be, as you've addressed.
I hear you, and, you know, obviously that's something that is probably the number one priority that we've been hearing from people about. But is it just making it easier, cutting the red tape and making it easier for developers to build these, you know, developments here? Or is it more than that? What else is it to lower the affordability? I know there's been some projects that have been conducted that were supposed to be, you know, kind of medium to low income housing. But we're still seeing these houses being built, but at a very high cost. So do you think there's another solution that would ensure that, yeah, we can get things built and have developments, housing developments, but also, you know, putting a cap on, you know, these developments or ensuring that they are at an affordable price?
Well, again, that's a great question. We'd have to sit down and get some consulting firms together or people in the area that deal with it, some of the contractors. Obviously, there's a supply issue on land, too. I mean, I sat on the board of Dictai for many years, and we built the Passive-style house up at Harding Heights there. And that took a long time to get that project to go forward, even working with BC Housing. And that is mostly low-income seniors and subsidized home for the you know, special needs in that area. But we're going to build across the road there on the Hilltop property. It was going to be a 36-unit multifamily and a couple, you know, and some of them, some were single-family. Again, it's going to be one-third affordable, one-third is going to be low-income, and one-third is going to be market rent. And even look at the numbers and building something like that at the time, and with the help of BC Housing to go forward, it just didn't fit the cost of building up here, what it was going to be. It just wouldn't fit in with what they needed to do, so it didn't go forward, which is a shame. We need more projects like that. I mean, I completely agree with you. If you have affordable housing, now you have a healthy community. Now you're going to have people that come in here that maybe don't make those big paying jobs, but they love the community. It'll attract doctors. We also need more daycare. So there's a number of things that have to be done. And no single person has the answer, but I'm so excited, whether I get in or not, with the number of young people and good ideas on that council that we're seeing. And it's going to be an exciting next 4 years for the community.
Got a couple other things for you, Murray. You know, one of the issues that came up that we actually, you know, haven't been paying enough attention to, or at least from, you know, some of the candidates we spoke with, you know, was the issue of that the crowd brought up of climate change. There was a climate emergency that the town announced a few years ago, and obviously there was some, you know, provincial funding incentives that came along with that. But there has been this criticism from a couple of councillor candidates that they wouldn't have done that. They would have done something else. And I know the question was asked last night, and there was a bit of silence from a number of candidates. Maybe you could, you know, clear that up and suggest or put out some ideas of what do you think needs to be done on that front, if there is anything that the town can do.
On the climate change emergency, well, I think the first thing is, you know, as far as the climate, the environment goes, we all need to be good stewards of the environment. Then the climate change issue, I think the issue that I see in that is with the timelines and the deadlines that they're putting on, whether it's from the feds or the provincial or the province in that day, of trying to have all this accountability in place by 2030. You have to look at, there is some grants out there, yes, but you also have to look at the deadlines and the cost it would be to try and implement that. And how is that going to fit into your community plan? How is that going to fit into affordable housing, all those other aspects of homelessness, all that? So it's a very delicate situation, and they all are intertwined. One is just not standing out by itself. So that's going to be something we have to take on as a group in that day, and include whoever has any kind of input on that to help out and come up with some kind of plan that we can work with.
Of course, you know, as mentioned a little bit last night, we're seeing a completely different field of candidates this time. We only have three incumbents, one being your competitor and two incumbent councillors. I guess the question that I've been asking everyone is, why did you feel that this was the time for you to run?
That's a great question, Dad. I guess, you know, most people know my background. I've been committed to this community since we moved here. Got heavily involved in fundraising for charities and special needs because of our son, and that all started in 1991. And I've now just retired, so I have the time and energy. And I was only going to run for council, and then I had a number of people ask me, you know, why don't you run for mayor? We need to at least have an election, so no guarantee you're going to get in, but we need to have another point of view that people can say, okay, yes or no. And that's all it's about. If I get in, great. If I don't, oh, good for Gladys, Natty. That's, I'm fine with that, Natty. But I just wanted to put my name forward. And I had many people even last night that I know they're on the opposite spectrum from myself, Natty, but they thanked me for at least putting my name up and running. Again, it gives food for thought, and it makes people go out there and debate, which we need to have debates like this. It's healthy to have differing opinions. because if normally you have different opinions at some point, even in this current council, they're going to come together to make decisions somewhere in the middle, and that's how it's going to be. Sometimes it'll go one way, sometimes it'll go the other way, and that's really healthy for democracy.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that was, you know, pointed out by a couple of people that, you know, seeing all the folks in the crowd, as well as, you know, the field of candidates, that it is showing that this is part of a healthy democracy and ensuring that we have healthy debate. So I hear you on that. Just a last thing for you, Murray. Obviously, you know, we have some time to go still in the campaign, another week. October 15th, people will be going to the polls to pick their new council. And last night, and what I've heard from, you know, a few candidates this time around is this focus on, you know, business and finance and making sure that, you know, we bring or attract more business to the community, and that we don't have to raise taxes on residents and businesses, especially that are already established here. But there's also this question of, you know, vision for the community going forward. You know, there's some big ticket projects that haven't been accomplished yet. You know, we heard about the second sheet of ice that took, you know, 20 plus years to get into place, and how well that people are using it now. You know, but this idea of a new library, you know, a community center, you know, other things that would bring, you know, vibrancy back to the community. What's your vision around trying to tackle some of those projects in the next few years?
Oh boy, that's a real loaded question. You know, it's a difficult one. I'll go back, Dan, a little bit of history, and I know you weren't around then, but it's been about 93 or 94, and through the charity golf tournament, we didn't give all the money to CBC. We kept back a little bit because we've been approached by, back then was the Second Sheet Ice Committee. So we gave some money for a feasibility study. And at that time, I think a lot of the people were hoping that they would do a multiplex, so a couple arenas under one roof, along with a community center, all tied in together over there on the Heritage Park. That project was going to be quite a bit of money back then, and I think it would have been nice if we would have done it then, because of the foresight, how much money it would have been, but how much time you would have had to pay it off. It would have been the thing to do. Right now, looking at these projects, again, with the lack of investment, you know, across the province, across the country, and especially in our municipality, on infrastructure is critical. You're not going to have a healthy town, and you're not going to have people wanting to live here if you don't have infrastructure that can support even the people that are here now. So it's so crucial that we can get the financing under control in that area, so that we can have the infrastructure looked after, and then we can build these projects. Because if you get the infrastructure, you build a little bit more core business. I'm not saying rapid growth by any means. I think nice, slow, steady growth would be healthy, because you're also going to have more people come to Smithers if we take care of the safety concerns and some of the criminal stuff that's going on too. That all ties into a big community. And when we get that, you have more people coming to shopping in Smithers, more dollars are coming here, the businesses are going to do better, then we're going to have that excess dollars and that we can do those projects. But we really have to be fiscally responsible. I just can't, you know, emphasize that enough. That is so important. And I've seen this coming, you know, 22 years ago when I started doing what I was doing. And I started buying investment companies for the people I invested for in that area, because we knew how much they were going to grow, and they have. It's been a great place to have money invested, but we still have the lack of investment and all those levels of government in that area. So it needs to be done in that area. And we don't want to have double-digit tax increases. We've got about a third of our people here are seniors. About a third are people that don't make a whole bunch of money, young families that have mortgages, so they're making probably their tax payments through their mortgage, you know, payments. And now interest rates are going up, inflation's going up, so they're going to have less to go around. All of it ties in, and it's so crucial that we get a plan that takes into all those considerations. And we need a good working committee from different walks around the community, whether it's business people, you know, even people from outside in the rural area, because they all contribute to it. So it is a big thing to tackle, but we can do it, whether I'm there or Gladys or the council there, and they'll get it done.
Just the last thing for you, Murray, before we have to wrap up here. You know, obviously, we heard a bit about this during the campaign as well. The Northwest Regional Resource Benefit Alliance, who are looking to ink an agreement with the province to see a fair share of the revenues coming out of resource projects here in the Northwest come back to local communities. You know, what is your experience and knowledge of that alliance? They just signed an MOU, but it took 7 years to get that done, and lobbying the provincial government. What's your plan going forward to access some of that money? As you mentioned, it's just sitting there. These resource projects are happening, but it doesn't come back to these local communities. So what's the plan going forward to see that through and get that deal inked?
Well, thanks for that question. No, I got to bring my speed up more in the details of it. I'll be honest, I haven't dove deep into it. I know it's been talked about. It's obviously a very important subject, especially for all these small communities. And we've seen this over the years, for many, many years, and that is all this excess dollars taken out because of the resources, and that is nothing come back to the northern communities. And that is the top priority, I would say, for sure, for all of us, Nettie, because we want to get some of that money back so it'll help all the small communities out and allow us to get other things. So, yeah, definitely would find out more about it, get more into it, Dan. And I'm all in favor of getting whatever we can.
And Murray, just the last thing for you, of course, it was, you mentioned it at the debate, but I'll ask it again. You know, this is a bit of a job application. So what makes you the right person for the job?
Well, I am fully retired, and I live in this community. I love this community, always have, and that. And I know it takes a lot of work and effort, and I have that. I don't have any other conflicts. This is the only thing I will be doing. I know Gladys has, you know, she's doing a couple things she's doing, you know, which is fine, but she has to also step down. She can't be in some of the, you know, some of the communication, some of the decisions, you know, tourism and that, because she gets paid by the tourism board, I believe. I don't have any conflicts. So that's a positive thing for me. And I am a hard worker. I'm up early every day, even when right now I'm trying to find things to do and that. So am I the right person? The people will tell me. I hope they see that I am the right person. I'm definitely committed to this community, love this community, and I would do everything I can to make this community grow and be successful and prosper. And I'd like to have all those projects people talked about high in the sky, but the reality is we just have to be fiscally responsible and work towards them, and we will get them eventually.
All right, Murray Haas, candidate for Mayor of Smithers. Thanks so much for your time today. We very much appreciate it, and good luck on the rest of the campaign trail.
Thanks very much for everything you're doing. Thank you.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.